So good. Listen, God wants to use every single one of us. That's what it's about, right? It's about the kingdom. You know, you'll hear us talk a lot about the kingdom. You're going to hear me talk a lot about the kingdom tonight. And I always think it's funny because I had a couple different directions I wanted to go tonight, and I was just kind of praying, and I like to ask the Holy Spirit to kind of lead. And that's why I was kind of laughing, is because just when I felt like I was like, yeah, I'll probably go that direction, and then listen to the testimonies, listen to the stories that were shared. You know, every Wednesday night, we like to share the testimonies. We like to just have an opportunity for open mic. Because why? Because God's doing stuff. And when you share a testimony, this isn't about bragging about anything that we did. This is about, look what God can do, and how you just take a simple act of obedience. Listen into every single one of the stories. It was a simple act of obedience, coming out of your comfort zone, doing something out of boldness, stretching yourself just a little bit, going a little bit above and beyond, and getting to be blessed while you're blessing somebody else. That's the stuff of the kingdom. That's who we're supposed to be as the church. And I think a lot of the times, because our human nature gets us into selfishness sometimes, we just get all kind of caught up in our own situation. We get caught up in our own circumstances and our own struggles. And it's so important that even in the midst of our circumstances, we remember our value and our identity in the Lord, and we have purpose. And there are constant assignments every day. Because when we're around people, they're an assignment on some level, right? Like whoever God's going to put in your path. And if you're just going to be open to being used, and anyone and everyone can be used. Everyone has a purpose. Everyone has value. Everyone has the ability to hear God, to know him, and to act. And that's what we're supposed to do. That's why we're on the earth, is to advance the kingdom. So here's the scriptures that came to me that I wanted to read. I'm in Matthew 6. And I'll start in verse 19. I'll back up. Yeah, we'll go 6:19. Some of these are going to be familiar. I'm going to pray before I read them, though, so that they won't be too familiar. So, Jesus, I ask that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to understand that your word has life and there's impartation in it. And, God, there's, even when we get familiar with certain verses, Lord, I ask that you would take us into a whole other level of understanding and of revelation. So come, Holy Spirit. And speak. In Jesus' name. Matthew 6:19. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth or mammon. Now, we tend to take those scriptures a little piece at a time, you know, one little verse here and a one little verse there, and we kind of have, maybe even some of you have memorized some of those or have heard that. But when you look in the entire thing, and I won't go into the whole chapter there, but what Matthew's talking about, and really this is Jesus, Jesus in red letters, actually, as he's sharing, he's talking about how we're supposed to live in the kingdom. He's talking about how you can't store up treasures on earth, but yet what do we tend to worry about the most? We worry about our stuff. We worry about our cars and our homes and even our health and all this. And I'm not saying that's necessarily bad or wrong. You know, these are things that we're supposed to steward and take care of and those kinds of things. But in the kingdom, like, the circumstances and the stuff is not the treasure. That's not the thing we're supposed to hang on to. Now, listen, I don't have a poverty mentality, though. I think it's absolutely okay for you to be wealthy. Okay? And this was the second sermon, so I don't know, maybe I'll preach a little bit of that second sermon. but the whole point was, we have to get out of a poverty mentality. We have to get out of that orphaned mindset. I may do a whole series on this at some point and really break this down, because I keep running into this mindset. I keep running into this mindset of lack. And what frustrates me and causes great distress and pain for me is to recognize how much of it is in the church. And we have it more than the world does sometimes, which really is frustrating. I shared a couple weeks ago that I've been in this amazing group of kingdom entrepreneurs, kingdom-minded people who are building businesses. I have my own business. I'm a private practice. And I'm launching a whole other coaching business and things online. And it's just been a juggle. I'm just going to be real. Like, I worked through my vacation last week a little bit, too, just because we're trying to get this thing launched. And it's just been a long time coming. To be really honest, I drag my heels about some things. I kind of go, yeah, Jesus, I don't think so. I don't know. Do anybody ever do that with Jesus? You know, like, yeah, I don't really want to do it. But I'm obedient, and I know that there's a particular reason for why I'm supposed to do these certain things. And, you know, when you hear God, whether it's through a prophetic word or through your prayer life or this nudge, this urging, and you get a sense of a direction of something that's inside of you, you might be really passionate about it. That can be one way. And I'm kind of passionate about some of the aspects of some of it. And the other, there's some stuff that's a bit of a stretch for me. Like, I don't know that I like some of this other stuff that has to go along with it. Okay, and I'm trying to be vague on purpose, because there's a stretching or a pull that has to take place whenever you're growing, right? But if we are able to hear the Lord and able to understand that it is okay to pursue a whole mindset like Christ, aligning yourself with the kingdom and going, okay, I really feel like this is God. Why am I saying no? What is it that's inside of me? And what I'm having to discover, even though I teach this stuff, I talk about it, I minister about it all the time, there's layers and levels that we go through, okay? So let me just pretend for a moment that wherever you are in your finances right now, wherever you are, let's pretend you just launched to the next level, whatever that looks like. Just put a number, whatever. I don't care what that looks like. Just imagine for yourself you're wherever you are next level, because you can't be too rich or too thin in the United States. Amen? So just saying, we all want more money, okay? So wherever you are right now in your finances, boom, you just launched in another level, okay? What is the first thing you tend to think about? Let's just be honest. What's the first thing you think about? Pay off all my debts, pay off my bills, buy new stuff, replace old stuff with new stuff, get bigger stuff, get better stuff. It's usually stuff. I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's necessarily bad or wrong, okay? Again, I have a wealth mindset. Why? Because that's what heaven looks like. Heaven does not have a shanty town. Heaven does not have slums. Heaven does not have poverty. Are you hearing me? Heaven does not have poverty. So I'm not saying that we should ever be in a place of shame if that's where we're struggling. If you're struggling, I know what it's like. I know what it's like to not know if I'm going to get my mortgage paid or not on time. I know what it's like. So I'm just telling you, everybody has wherever their circumstance is, okay, in the financial realm. But when we move into a whole other level, you start to transition your thinking a little bit differently. You just will, I promise. You will. You'll transition into your thinking just a little bit differently. You'll start to examine what it is that you desire or what you think you should have or how you should live. It's human nature, okay? It's human nature. Now you go to another level. Then what? I'm just telling you, stretch yourself and just imagine this. Let yourself really go here for a second. Let your heart and your mind go here. You just get a whole other deposit, okay? We have a mindset that makes us comfortable where we are and where we've been and where we've grown up. This is the circle I'm used to. I like to wear jeans and a t-shirt to church. I like to be able to, you know, I like to be comfortable. I like to be able to, you know, whatever that looks like for you. Some people are going to be comfortable in a certain kind of environment or setting, and other going to be comfortable in another one. Why? Because it's what you're used to. It's what you value on some level because of your mindset. If you started walking around in a celebrity mansion in LA, come hang out with some friends, multimillionaires that have amazing homes, is anything inside of you kind of go, I don't want to break anything. Wow. Oh my goodness. Have you seen any of those TV shows where they walk into the rich and famous and you're like, holy cow, are you serious? Like, right? Like, $10,000 toilet seat? Come on. Jesus, help me, right? Like, I'm like, what, right? No, some of it's just ridiculous. Come on, I'm just saying, it's just ridiculous. But what goes on inside of you is my point. What goes on inside of you? The minute that stretches. Because that's when you're going to start revealing, you're hitting a wall in this whole other realm of going, wait, I have this place of poverty inside of me. Maybe I don't feel like I fit in here. Or I start comparing, or I start competing. Come on. We start comparing. Well, grass is greener over there, or they've got more of this, or oh, look at how they did that. I mean, come on. I'm a woman too. So I don't know if you've ever been on any of those tour of the homes kinds of fundraisers and stuff. I love those. I love going. I'm so glad that my home is not one of those, though. But, I mean, I just love, because we just love to decorate and we love to see all the stuff or whatever, right? But what does it do, though? It stirs up jealousy, or it stirs up envy, or it stirs up all this lack. Oh, but I don't have, or I don't, right? We get in this whole other kind of mindset. What am I getting at here? What I'm trying to get at is there's this whole scripture in here about don't store up yourselves treasures on earth where the moth or rust destroy. It doesn't mean you can't have nice stuff. What it means is, where is your treasure, though? What do you treasure? What are you doing with it? Like, what is it really, what are you really doing with it? There's some place of abundance. Just because someone else has more than I do is not the point. Here's the thing. I've mentioned this before. We cannot judge either side, right? You can't judge. You can't love anybody that you're judging in the first place, number one. And it's one thing for people to think that you would judge someone who has less, but what I see more of is people, no matter what you've got, there's always a mindset that says, well, the wealthy get really judged because they're snobs or they're whatever it is. That's a poverty mindset. Anytime there's comparison, there's a poverty mindset. I have everything that I need in Jesus. Everything. Your circumstances and your bank account don't determine your value, your wealth, what you really have access to. I know it's a real struggle in what I call reality, in our humanness, okay? But I'm telling you that the supernatural realm, the kingdom, is way more real if you'll access it. There are treasures available to us if we'll perceive it. And so look, he says, don't store up treasures on earth. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Then he starts talking about the eye is the lamp of the body. And it talks about your eyes being clear, your eyes being bad. What in the world? What is he talking about? What do you see? What are your eyes gazing at? You know, we always talk about the eyes of the window to the soul. What's going on inside of you is what's coming out. When you look in your eyes, is there light or is there darkness? When you look at people in the eye, you can read, you can tell, you can see what's going on in them, right? Come on, right? Because it comes out of you, out of the heart, the mouth speaks even. So it's really what's going on inside of here. This is what he's talking about. He's dealing with your heart. He's dealing with what's going on inside of you. And he's telling you, you can't serve two masters. You'll either hate one, love the other, be devoted to one, and despise the other. You can't serve both God and mammon. Okay? So I'm not talking about having possessions per se. It is the spirit at which the desire is there. And if you never have enough, that's a poverty mentality. I don't care how much money you have or how big of a house you have. You can still have a poverty mentality if it's never enough. If you've always got to have more. What will make you satisfied? For this reason, I say to you, don't be worried about your life. I'm just going to pause there. Don't be worried about your life. Now, don't hear shame. And don't hear condemnation in that. This is Jesus talking in red letters, okay? He says, for this reason. What reason? What's the reason? For this reason, let's back up. No one can serve both masters. You can't serve both God and mammon. For this reason, I say, don't be worried about your life as to what you'll eat, what you'll drink, nor for your body as to what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Does that mean he doesn't care? No. He's giving you perspective. Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to your life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little what? Faith. He didn't say you of little money. He said, you of little faith, believe and you'll have it, right? Believe. He's going to take care of whatever it is you need. Keep your eyes on your own life, on your own stuff, not on everybody else's stuff, not doing the comparing and the competing. Why? Because the minute you do, you get into a lack, scarcity, poverty mindset. You get into a mindset that says, woe is me, I don't have enough, look at them. Okay? It's that orphan-hearted thing. Don't worry then, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, for what will we wear? The Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things, but what? Here's the verse. But seek first, what? His kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. We tend to stop there, but here's the next verse. So do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And there he is prophesying, there's trouble. We're going to have trouble. There's going to be stuff, but just stay in today and stay focused on your faith and what it is that you need to be focused on. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, let me see. Where's the other verse at? Give me just a second. Where did it go? I lost it. Darn. Technology. Should have just had my real Bible and a sticky note. Anyway, my point is this. There is a mindset shift that has to take place. There's a mindset shift that has to take place. We've got to come out of a poverty mentality or a scarcity mindset. You have everything you need in the kingdom. Where is the kingdom? The kingdom is at hand. That's what Jesus said. What does that mean? It's right here. It's available. It's within reach. What does that mean? Like, what's the kingdom? Heaven, God's will. Tell me your answers. I want to hear some. What's the kingdom? The king's domain. Wherever what? Wherever the king is. Where's the king? Right here. In us. So where's the kingdom? Inside of it. Listen, it is you. It is you. You're an embassy. You know, there's scripture that says you're an ambassador in Christ Jesus, right? You represent him. You're to represent him. Wherever you go, wherever your feet tread. I don't have all these verses written out, right? Wherever you go, wherever your feet tread, there you can take authority on the land. Why? Because wherever you go, you're a walking ambassador, not just an ambassador, but you're an embassy. What is an embassy? An embassy, when it is located in another country, right? Like, we have an embassy in France. We have an embassy, you know, the one that just moved into Jerusalem, right? So we have an embassy. What does that mean? Like, in that area, in that territory, in that domain, the laws and the rules are established there, like our nation, even though we're in a completely different land or nation, right? There's territory. You're a walking, living embassy. Everywhere you go, you establish the kingdom. You're the kingdom. Christ inside of you, the hope of glory. What is that? We tend to say, Christ inside, the hope of glory, the hope, will one day I'll get to heaven? No. The hope of glory, break it down. Hope, a confident expectation of good things, a happy certainty. I know that I know, and it's good. It's a child on Christmas morning expecting gifts. Like, it is, it's an expectation that is happy. Christ in you is the hope, the confident happiness of what? Of glory. What's glory? The manifestation of the kingdom, the glory, his glory revealed. What is glory? What's glory? Signs, wonders, miracles. What's glory? Come on, y'all. This is Christianese. We say this word all the time. Do we know what it means? the weight of God, the presence of God, his manifest presence. It is his glory. We are to establish his kingdom, which is displaying his glory. And he gave it to us. He gave us his glory that we would reveal, right? We're supposed to reveal Jesus. We're supposed to reveal Jesus. You are the walking kingdom. You're the king. Do you know that he made you a king and a priest, right? Scripture says that we are kings and priests. We're kings and priests. Kings walk with authority, right? They rule. Are you ruling? Are you walking with authority? Where's your domain? Now, you all live somewhere. You have a house. You have a place. You have a little neighborhood. Where's your domain? You have an office. You go to work somewhere, maybe. Where's your domain? Your family, your kids, your sphere of influence. Think about it. Where's your domain? Your hood. Where's your domain? Where do you have influence? That's your domain. Where you live, where you work, where you operate, where you fellowship. When you go into a restaurant, it is now your domain because you just entered in. The light into dark places, that's where we are. Okay? So we're establishing the kingdom everywhere we go. How are we supposed to establish the kingdom and reveal God's glory into the earth if we don't know who we are and we still have a scarcity mindset? If we still think we're lacking, if we're still focused on the stuff in front of us, if we're worried about what we'll eat and what we'll drink and what we'll wear, if we're worried at all, if we're focused on us and our circumstances. Now, I know the reality of that. Please hear me. I'm not saying get in denial and la, 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 pretend. I'm not saying that. But what do? In the midst of the pressing and the crushing, in the midst of that, he's making new wine. He's making new wine. Make me an offering. Y'all, we sing some dangerous songs if you think about it. Make me an offering. Make me an offering, whatever it is you want me to be. Do you mean it when you sing that song? Listen, I get really convicted about the songs that we choose to sing here. I choose them on purpose because they are prophetic and they declare something. And in the same way that God spoke life into existence, we do that. The power of the tongue speaks life and death, right? He who speaks it will eat its fruit. So we consume what we speak. So if we're walking in authority because we're kings and queens, when we know our identity, when we recognize our value, when we recognize that we have influence, we begin to steward it from a place of responsibility. If we keep walking around like orphans and we keep comparing and competing and we keep staying in a place of lack and that nothing I have and nothing that I am is good enough, how in the world are we supposed to display the glory of God on the earth? We have to shift our mindset. We have to come into agreement with what he says in his word. We've got to see ourselves the way he sees us. He's given us his authority. Jesus said, I've given you, and I'll be with you forever. Right now, go make disciples of all the nations. Okay? So we've got testimonies where just people in their daily life going to a restaurant, walking around, going, doing whatever, right? Some people, you know, Dorothy was talking about serving in VBS, Mia going to a conference or whatever, like wherever it is that you're going, whether you're at work, getting a phone call, going, yeah, my flesh doesn't want to wake up, but it's 3 a.m, but he heard the Holy Spirit say, don't turn that phone off. And he obeyed. We've got to recognize the voice of the Lord so that we can obey, even if it means in my circumstance at 3 a.m. when I'm really tired, I say, yes, Lord. In the pressing and the crushing, whatever you want me to be, I'm going to go. And as I go, I'm going to step out and get a little uncomfortable. I'm going to talk to some people about Jesus. And I'm at a meeting and she's at the school nurses thing or whatever and see somebody's hurt and goes, ah, let me pray. Why? Because she has a mindset that says, I have access into heaven. I have Jesus inside of me. I'm not the healer. He's the healer. But if I don't pray, Like, God's sovereign. If he wants to just zap somebody and heal them right now, he can. But what he wants to do, he's a father with children. And he wants to use all of us to make that happen. We're here to advance the kingdom. We're here to bring heaven on earth. The message of the kingdom is not one day hope of glory, maybe I'll get there. Or, yes, thank you, Jesus, I'm glad you died for me, so I'll get there one day. Let me hang on until that day. The hope of glory, the hope of the day when I walk into heaven. No, that is not what that means. There's no poverty in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no lack. Whatever cards you have been dealt on this earth are yours to play, and they will only be played based on your belief, based on the mindset that you have at the moment. We've got to come up to a whole other level of understanding of our value. His extravagant love. I don't ever want to dare sing a song where I think about singing those words and they're just lyrics we're singing, and we got 20 more minutes to sing before someone starts preaching. God, forgive me. I know I've done it before. I'm just telling you. I've done it. But something has shifted in my heart over these years where it's like, no, every word is a prayer, is a prophetic declaration, is a position of my heart if I'll let it. That I should never sing of the extravagant love of God and not feel it. I don't ever want to sing, especially in worship, I don't ever want to sing a song where my heart is not engaged with the words as if Jesus was standing right here in front of me. I challenge you to think about that. Every time you enter into a place of worship, every time you hear a song, even on the radio when it's playing, right? And you catch yourself singing it or whatever. Some of them, you know, they're up songs and there's down songs and there's all kinds of stuff on the radio. It's a little bit different, I think, for me. The lyrics and stuff are different in song radio songs, you know, because it's creative poetry and some of that stuff too. But when it's worship, it's an invitation into his presence. As a position of our heart, it becomes a mindset where I'm now speaking these things, I'm declaring these things. And if I learn how to live as a king with my authority in my domain, now I'm asking the Lord, where do I have authority? Where do I have influence? Who do I have influence over? It could be a stranger at work that calls, has cancer, is sick, had to go into the hospital, needs you to drive 2 hours. Oh, just so happens you happen to be from New Orleans and would know exactly what these kids need to hear in the van. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. That's Jesus. That's our Jesus. That's how good he is. And when we'll let him get us out of our comfort zone and us be willing to, A, hear his voice, and two, to obey his voice, and to not let our selfishness or our circumstance dictate, but our mindset shift into, I'm a king, I have access. And guess what? I'm a priest. I'm a priest, a person of ministry. I minister to the Lord, and I minister to other people. You're a conduit. You're a conduit of the king and of the kingdom. And there is no reason why any believer should ever have a mindset of lack, of scarcity, of poverty, of worry. We're more than that, you guys. Listen, I'm human. I know we struggle, but I'm sick and tired of that being an excuse for people. I am. I don't let myself have those excuses either. My husband will catch me and he'll say, you'll never let anybody else say that, Cindy, so you don't get to say that either. He's done that to me before. So it's okay. We need it. Why? That's why we fellowship in the body. That's why we need to say, listen, I'm struggling. I need prayer. We are going to go through those circumstances, but we need people to remind us and go, no, I know you. I know what the Father says about you. And even if I don't know you and I happen to be on the street and I see you and you need something and I have what I can give you and I can love on you and you need Jesus. So I'm going to share and not be ashamed and not be afraid because I have so much wealth. We are wealthy because we have the kingdom, because we have the king. Now, I believe in prophetically declaring over people and over situations and over land. Our prayers are powerful. Do you believe it? Come on. Do you believe it? The prayers of the righteous avail much. Who made me righteous? Jesus. Okay, so I don't even have to earn any righteousness as if even I could. He already said that I am. I just have to what? Agree. I have to agree. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto me. Does that mean then I'll have the $1 million and the mansion on the hill? No. What is available to me? Everything of the kingdom. True riches, true wealth I have access to. If I have the ability to have the money, then great. I can live in my little house. I don't have to have a mansion on the hill. I don't want it. I don't want to have to clean it. I don't have to hire maids to come clean it. I'm just telling you. I don't want that. So I barely do good if I get my own laundry done. So manage whatever it is that you want to manage. It's okay. Please hear me. No judgment, no comparison. Enjoy your life. What you like, fabulous. God put it inside of you. I do not believe that we're called to poverty, though. I do not believe that we're called to poverty. That's something that's been taught in the church, that we should just always, always, always do without and just give everything or whatever. I do not believe that there's no poverty in heaven. I just got to keep saying that. I'm not living in a shack in heaven. It's not happening, okay? But whatever my circumstances right now, I will be thankful. In all circumstances, I will be thankful. I will declare and decree who my God is, and I'm still rich. I'm still wealthy because I have him. I have the ability to minister to the circle, the people of influence he put me on. I mean, if we were all in the same status financially, we would only be reaching one kind of people in the world anyway. Don't you think he would have sprinkled us around on purpose? I'm just saying, light is belonging in the darkness. Like, we're not all supposed to huddle together and us be the this big lighthouse or whatever, and just everyone else is in the dark and y'all can come in and join us if you want to have the light. No, that's not what he said. He said, go and to shine your light amongst men that they would see your good deeds and what? And praise God in heaven. Give him the glory. Why? Because they saw your good deeds. You're the one bringing the kingdom. You're the one bringing the good news. If you don't believe the good news yourself, how are you supposed to share it? See, we got to come back to this whole mindset of Jesus is good. He is with me, and I have everything that I need. And like David did, in every circumstance, we have to speak to our soul. Jesus just said in red letters in the passage I read to you that you're not supposed to worry. You have permission to never worry again. Now, there's no shame if you struggle with it, okay? It just means you've yet to overcome. Do you hear me? We're all in process. We're all in process. Do not hear shame or condemnation. Listen, I'm a therapist. I work with people who struggle with anxiety, and they get condemned and rebuked and all kinds of things in the church by people, well, you should just be happy, and you should just be okay, and you shouldn't have depression because you have Jesus. Yes and no. I get it. There's a battle. We're all in a battle, okay? We're all called to overcome, though. Regardless of what I'm feeling is my message. Do you hear me? Until you're out of it, regardless of how I feel, in the pressing, in the crushing, make new wine out of me. While I'm suffering, while I'm hurting, while I'm tired, while I'm poor, whatever's going on with me, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to declare who he is. I'm going to pray for other people. I've been going after backs and knees because I've had issues with backs and knees myself, and I love praying for people to get healed of backs and knees because I get to make the enemy pay for ever messing with me. Until I get my own healing, but if I sit and, well, he hasn't healed me yet. What's wrong with me? Why does he heal everybody else and he won't heal me? And I go into self-pity, and then I never pray for anybody. And then I stay in a poverty mindset and a lack mindset, and then I don't see any breakthrough, and the people around me don't see any breakthrough. No, we get a little more stubborn, and we say, no, this mindset has to shift. Our mindset has to shift. We have Jesus. Come on, that can't just be, oh, yeah, I know what Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I know I'm a Christian. I've been in church. Listen, we got to get out of our comfort zones, okay? I'm serious. We got to get out of our comfort zones. I feel a holy frustration in it even, right? Because I hear on a regular basis, not just people in the church, but people in the world. Listen, the girl that Mia showed Todd's picture to and is like, he's got dreads. Like, people in dreads can't have Jesus? You know, no, guess what? That's the message she's been taught. She's been said, no, you cut it all up, you clean it up, you wear nice clothes, you come in, you wear your, what, you hear what I'm saying? You got to look a certain way, you got to act a certain way, you got to talk a certain way. No, we don't. That's why he sprinkled all of us into every realm of society with all different kinds of gifts. So we're going to look a whole lot different. We're going to all have different struggles. We all have them. But regardless, we have Jesus. And our mindset has got to shift. We've got to get so anchored in his love for us that we recognize how wealthy we are so that we will share. It's a real simple kindergarten concept. Sharing is caring. There you go. Share. Share. It doesn't have to look like another person's way that they share. It's the way you share. Some people are going to be very, you know, some people are gifted and have this passion to evangelize and they can speak out the Roman road and whip out the track or whatever. And great. That's not my style. Okay. Some people are not going to say Jesus for months while they build relationship with somebody over time and sprinkle it in the back door. That's okay too. However you're called to do it, but just do it. Just do it. Just share. I want to challenge you because we get really comfortable in our Christianity. We get really comfortable in our circumstances and our stuff. And, you know, we punch in our church card and we do our church thing. And y'all, even, I'm just saying, I know that we can get caught up in some of our own stuff, but we've got to intentionally stretch ourselves and see the one in front of us and see the people that God's put in our way. And even when you got to go out of your way, even when it's a little uncomfortable, even if it's like, but Jesus, you know, like the widow and the son, well, all I got's this piece of bread and then we're going to eat it and die. You know, remember that was Jamie's story when he was here and he shared that, like, that's all we got. And you're asking me to bake you a whole bunch of bread and all this stuff, like I'm ready to die, you know, like I have nothing. No, what did he say? He shared that whole story about, you know, Elijah said, no, go and gather what you have access to. And then you got to see and believe and the Lord will do something. You've got to do something. And see, just her going and gathering all of those vessels, all of those jugs, right, was a prophetic act. Because just to do that meant what? She had to expect something. Something's going to happen. I don't know what, but he said to go gather, so I'm going to, right? So through him, hearing the Lord say, go do this, she obeyed and had a place of expectation. So where is it in your life where the Lord has already told you to do something and you haven't done it yet? That's one. I'm just saying, I got one that I've had to say, yes, Jesus, okay. What has God already told you to do and you haven't done it yet? Are you willing to obey, to position your heart, and to do it? Why not? It was God. I'm just saying. Like, if you heard God tell you something, you should obey. But then let me back up and ask you, have you heard God tell you something? Because sometimes we doubt that we hear him, or we struggle, or we can second guess that we hear him. And that was another sermon I was thinking about preaching tonight. Because the next couple weeks, what I really feel like we're supposed to do is really activate our ability to hear and to see in a greater capacity, and to really begin to move and step into what I believe God is calling us. Yeah, I'll share this. I believe that God is calling us in a season. You know, we talk about new things all the time. You know, there's a new season, a new year, a new thing that he's doing, because God is always doing something new. He's always doing something, right? But There's been lots of confirmation in my spirit, and then when I hear other people who like would know better than me say it, it really confirms a whole lot of things. And I'm just going to go there. Let me see if I can do this, my Bible. I believe that in 2018, some of you have heard me say this already, I believe that in 2018 we shifted into a whole other thing. I don't even know what to call it, epic time or season. I don't know. Like, I know it every new year there's a new thing. Well, September technically is when the Hebrew calendar starts over. So for me, that's always been a significant thing. I won't go into that whole story, but, or maybe I will. I don't know. Help me, Jesus. I think it's really, 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 really important that we practice really, really, really hearing God and then really, really obey. Can I emphasize that any stronger? Like, he's really serious about his kids showing up and arising and shining and becoming who we're supposed to be. You are so important to him that he's calling you out by name and he's having you take a look at what he has said to you, how he's tried to pursue your heart, the things that he has done, the things that he has spoken, the things that he has given you, and he's calling you into a very sweet and precious, intimate time to become really one with his love for you and to let the Father really speak identity over you so that you will show up the way he needs you to show up. Yes, I said God needs you to do it because he could do it himself, but he doesn't want to. His whole plan was to have his kids do it. That's why he made us. And he is so stinking serious about us becoming who we're supposed to be. Because the world needs us to. The world needs us to. The world needs us to. We have to become who he's called us to be. Now, the number 8 in Scripture usually represents new beginnings. 7 is the completion. It's the perfect number. All things are completed at 7. So 8's the next cycle. 8's the new beginning. It's the next thing. Well, we're in the month of October. August. Jesus, help me. All right. Something's happening in October. Okay. I don't know. I don't even have October written here. Okay. I don't know. Maybe that was prophetic. But we're in August, which is the number 8. And the way God speaks sometimes in Scripture, and he does to me, is through numbers, just weird stuff like that, okay? And so I don't know if some of you guys have seen some of the different prophetic words that have been out there, if you guys watch Elijah List or whatever, but Johnny Enlow is one, and a couple of other people have said some things, and it's all good. And, you know, we know in part, and we prophesy in part. And the thing that I love so much about the prophetic ministry is because we have the ability to all get an aspect of what the Father is saying. And when we share and we bring them those pieces together, it's like a 1,000-piece puzzle, right? Like everybody brings in their little piece, and it creates this beautiful picture. And when you start hearing things regularly, like the Lord says in the Scripture that he doesn't do anything until he shares it with his prophets, right? So he's sharing it. And I'm not talking about just office of prophets, but he's sharing it with people who will hear, who will hear, and so there are several scripture that have kind of jumped out, particularly about 8/18, August 2018, and it was really funny because one of them jumped out at me a while ago, and I didn't put it all together, but I'm just going to read you just a couple of these. Romans 8:18, particularly, that was the one that jumped out at me. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So that's my whole message, y'all. That's my whole message tonight. I consider the sufferings of this present time not even worthy to be compared with the glory. So my eyes don't stay on it anymore. Um, Deuteronomy 8:18. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth. Let me repeat that. It's he giving you, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you what? Power to what? Make wealth. Did he said giving you power to just receive it? No, the power to make it, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. He's going to confirm his covenant. What was his covenant? His covenant was the promise to Israel and to us, right? He's with us forever. Joshua 8:18. Then the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out your javelin that's in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand. So Joshua stretched out the javelin that was in his hand toward the city. Stretch out your hand to whatever it is that you want to claim. He's given it to you. It's within reach. This is the picture I get, right? Stretch out your hand. Where's the kingdom of heaven? It's at hand, Jesus said. It's within reach. It's available to you right now. Stretch out your hand. What do you have available to you? What's within your reach? First Kings 8:18, but the Lord said to my father David, because it was in your heart to build a house for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. When David wanted to build the tabernacle, it wasn't God that wanted it. It was in David's heart. That's why he said yes. Do y'all get that? When David wanted the structure of the tabernacle, he wanted God in his backyard. He wanted him face to face like he did with Moses. That's why he danced naked when the Ark of the Covenant came in, is because he wanted to create what Moses had. He wanted to create the tabernacle, okay, again. That's why he was so excited. It was in his heart to do it, though. It wasn't an assignment from God. He told Solomon, the reason why it was built and put together is because it was in David's heart. It wasn't anything that I wanted, as if I could put my head somewhere, right? That's what he said. But he said, no, but it was in David's heart. What's in your heart that God can say yes to? What's in your heart? It didn't start with him. There was another one. Proverbs 8:18, riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. Behold, I and the children, this is Isaiah 8:18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. There's several of these. Y'all, I'm just kind of scanning because there were several that jumped out at me. Mark 8:18, this one was like in capital letters in my Bible. Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? Like it's a wake-up call, I believe. Like he's doing a new thing. And he's saying, can you have eyes to see it? Can you have eyes to perceive it? Are you able to step into the new thing? So I want to pray, and I want to ask the Lord, because I feel like he's wanting to do something very particular about this place in our heart and our mindset of shifts. And one of them that I want to just highlight is learning to really lean in and hear the voice of the Lord and to ask him, how do you hear? And we'll talk some more about that in the next couple weeks. We're going to practice really hearing the Lord and declaring and just moving in prophetic ministry to kind of get us up and ready for when Dan McCollum and Bethany will be coming on August 24th and 25th to Kingdom Life in San Antonio. There's a prophetic conference that Friday night and all day Saturday, and you're going to want to go. It's free. There's no registration needed. Just go and show up. It's at Kingdom Life. We've had ads going and stuff, flyers or whatever, if you need the information. But I wanted to do that the next couple of weeks because I want us to be able to position our heart, and I want us to be able to practice hearing the Lord, and I want us to be able to practice stepping out and prophesying and encouraging people, and then it'll end in that culmination of that conference because I think that there's going to be a shift. If you don't know who Dan McCollum is, he is a prophet, but he and Chris Vallotton, you know, they're kind of in that whole stream together, but even Chris says that Dan is like like the best teacher in the prophetic or whatever. He's very practical in how he teaches and breaks things down. And it's the New Testament prophetic movement that he is helping father and steward, and really raising up not just people who can hear and see, but raising up people to equip, that we're not just consumers all waiting to get in a big old line for the prophet to prophesy over, but we're all prophets. We're all participating in encouraging one another. Amen. We're all hearing the Lord and declaring identity over one another so that we edify and encourage one another. And then we do that out in the world in our circle of influence. So I want to pray. Just bow with me and let your heart be positioned. Father, I thank you that you are so excited about what you're doing in this season. And you are earnestly calling each one of us by name. Father, I thank you that from beginning of time, you chose us to be where we are right now. So come, Holy Spirit, and I just ask right now that you would impart a greater grace to hear you, to see you, to recognize you, to feel you, to discern what you're doing, what you're saying, Father, that like Jesus, we would know so that we can obey. And Father, I ask that you would give us grace to be able to position ourselves in such a way where we're willing to look foolish, where we're willing to be stretched, where we're ready to sacrifice. Where we'll be able to give you the glory. Would you give us eyes to see those that you've put in our path? Would you give us a stronger nudge the next time you want us to speak up and say something? Lord, we are intentionally asking that you help us to hear you that we may obey. Father, I thank you that you're doing something extravagant for each of your children right now. There's a wooing that's taking place, a love song being sung over each one. And God, I ask that you right now, with those listening, that you would minister to every heart that may be hurting, every heart that still does have need, that you remove every lie of the enemy that says that they may be worthless or lack something or are only able to see the circumstance. Lord, I thank you that when we're weak, then we're also strong because of you, that it's in those testing times that you make us strong, that you give us courage. You told us to be strong and courageous. You make us strong and courageous, God. Lord, I thank you for the testimonies, for the excitement that we get to have when we do partner with you, when we have said yes. What a blessing it is to know that we're used by you, that you would choose us to do your work, that you would use us to love on your other kids out there. I thank you, God, that that in and of itself is a blessing, but I also thank you, Lord, that your word said that we have access to everything that is needed. So, Father, right now, I declare and decree everything that is needed is available right now. God, give us eyes to see the treasure in heaven. Lord, help us to see our home in heaven, that we don't despise where we are right now, that we can see what we have access to. That every need is taken care of already It just has yet to manifest. Give us faith to believe it. God, would you impart a supernatural faith right now? The gift of faith be imparted and released right now in Jesus' name. We need your faith, God. The faith that has no doubt, but an assurity, a confidence in who we are in you. Lord, thank you for loving us. Lord, would you help gratitude arise in our hearts, thankfulness and appreciation to arise, joy to arise, excitement to arise, that we would have expectation, Lord, that hope would arise, that we began to dream and we began to see what is possible instead of what looks impossible, that we begin to see what it looks like when people are healed, that we begin to dream and see and expect change to take place in the areas that don't look like heaven because we're here. Because you put us here. You put us in these circumstances to help change them just by praying into them and declaring them. Father, would you give us the words to say? Give us the faith to declare. God, I ask for an acceleration to take place. I ask for an acceleration to take place, that we would see the fruit of it quickly, Lord, that it would encourage, that we would have testimony upon testimony upon testimony. We thank you for what you're doing, Father. And we receive the fullness that all that Jesus paid for, that he would receive the fullness of his reward in us and through us. We love you. And it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. Amen.